tape two, side two.
Now, there's sometimes some very striking examples of this, of how people are very well qualified, very well endowed, and are just totally oblivious to what their skills and qualities are. And I quote this in several, this one case in several of my books because it's so obvious. There was a young woman who was a very accomplished physician, a pediatrician. She had an alcohol history. She attempted suicide. She was horribly depressed. And I once asked her to tell me something good about herself, tell me some of her personality assets, and she couldn't think of anything to say. And then I pointed out to her that she had graduated summa cum laude and had received the Phi Beta Kappa Award, and that if she couldn't think of anything else to say, the least she could have said is, well, for whatever it's worth to you, no, I'm not stupid, I did win Phi Beta Kappa. And her remark to me, in full sincerity, was, well, the reason I didn't say that is because when they told me that I won the Phi Beta Kappa Award, I knew they made a mistake. And there's sometimes some very gross examples of how a person is very well qualified, but they don't see that. And they adapt to the world based on their misconceived self-image. And that always gets you in trouble. And I said in the Like Yourself book, and I still believe that, that with the exception of those people who have physiologic disorders, that all of the psychological problems that we have in life are due to a misconception of ourselves, to a chronic self-underestimation. So that everything that I've written, almost everything that I've written, has got a flavor of how to recognize this and how to build self-esteem. So the Like Yourself book is a self-esteem building book. Self-Discovery and Recovery is a self-esteem building book. Let Us Make Man is a self-esteem building book. Even parts of Generation to Generation are self-esteem building. I would hope that psychiatry will pick that up and go in the right direction. The problem is that psychiatry is still, as part of medicine, pathology-oriented. And doctors are still looking as to what's wrong with the patient instead of saying, let's find out what's right that he's not using.
Doctor, do you think that if more rabbinical counseling were available, that many problems could be averted with people?
I think so. There has been a growth in the past several, oh, maybe decades, of pastoral counseling and various seminaries of all faiths are giving their graduates, giving their students more teaching and more practicum in pastoral counseling and being able to identify psychological problems and how to, at least for those that don't require any enormous amount of highly sophisticated therapy to be able to provide a first-line help. I've taught a couple years ago, I taught a course in pastoral counseling at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And I've given various lectures to different groups of clergy on pastoral counseling. And I think that as rabbis became more aware of what problems are, how to look for them, how to identify them, and how to provide appropriate help, a great many problems could be resolved. And just take alcohol and drugs as a simple problem. This is what Jax was so interested in overcoming, is that rabbis, because of being under the illusion that Jews don't drink pathologically, and unaware of the enormous amount of medication and drug use that there is, sometimes we'll try to help a family in counseling or without even knowing that they're not going to be able to do anything as long as the alcohol problem isn't dealt with. So, yeah, in this area, as rabbis become more aware, they should be able to provide a great deal more help.
Doctor, in looking backward, coming forward, what do you feel your major accomplishments and contributions have been?
Well, I think the one we talked about lastly was the one I've been putting an enormous amount of effort into calling attention to problems of self-esteem, better yet, the lack of self-esteem, the unwarranted lack of self-esteem that is responsible for many conditions. Obviously, my principal work in the past 50 years has been in alcohol and drugs. And I've sort of put those two together because I see the problem of alcohol and drugs also as very heavily involved with problems of self-esteem, and I address that in the Self-Discovery and Recovery book. And when people recover, and in order to remain recovered, they have to recognize that they don't need to escape from all the problems of daily life, because escaping is only necessary when you can't cope. Right? If you can cope, you don't need to escape. The more we find out about our own capacities to cope, the less need we'll have for escaping.
Let me ask you some personal guidance. I don't think I gave any of our children, who are great children, enough feeding self-esteem.
Well, let me show you something that I've become very interested in recently. This is a book that was written by a psychologist in Washington, D.C. And now the reason that I have that is because wherever I go to speak, I make copies of that flyer and distribute it. You can have it.
Let me put that on the table. One moment. Thank you.
Wherever I go, I get copies of it.
Yes. Dr. Torsky gave us a copy. How Children Can Know They're Worth More Than They Thought. Building Self-Esteem in Children by Patricia H. Byrne and Louis M. Savory. Building Self-Esteem in Children. And there is a sampling of the positive practical approach of building self-esteem in children. Listening without making judgments, remember names, be careful about challenging fantasies, ask questions that don't threaten, have no unspoken expectations, use humor in building relationships, show you can accept even the undesirable, and be aware of children's subtle messages.
When I got that, when I saw that book on the library shelf 2 years ago, I took it out and read it in one sitting, called Dr. Bernie, talked with her, got four copies of the book and gave them to my children, knowing that whatever I did, right, is foul, right? But at least if they will read that book, right, then they'll have a better chance of giving my grandchildren a better crack at self-esteem. I did as good as I could have under the circumstances. One of the things that I would hope, and I was just talking to a group of teachers, that one of the things that could be done across the country is that in junior and senior high school years, begin to give classes about adequate parenting. Now everybody is talking about whether we should have sex education in high schools, and that could be quite controversial, whatever. But this is something that should be beyond controversy. Right? These are kids.
Train me and I'll go to the board and start teaching the courses.
You know what?
Read the book.
Pick up Patricia's book. I think that she is so fantastic. And they're now, last September, I became aware of the first National Conference on Problems of Self-Esteem. It was held in October in Washington. So there's obviously now a growing interest in the problems of self-esteem. And I wouldn't be surprised that one of these days there will be classes in parenting. And I think that we can, the kinds of things that she points out are rather simple little techniques, tiny little pitfalls, and as we look back, we can see as to where we might have done better. So we did as good as we could.
Doctor, in building self-esteem in children and making them aware of their potential, sometimes, don't you run the danger of creating greater expectations for children?
Well, I think we got to be careful how it's done, and that's why I think that Pat Bernie is so expert in saying be careful on how you do this. You know, you got to let the kids know everything that we do is a risk. Somebody once said that life is walking on a tightrope. You lean too far over to one side and you lose your balance and you get killed. If you overcorrect by leaning too far over to the other side, you fall down and get killed. So there's sort of a ladder. There's no question that we're taking the risk in much of what we're doing. And all we can do is try to narrow the risk. And I think we have to be careful that if we do not stimulate our children adequately, that they will fall below their potential. Of course, if we overstimulate and demand of them things that they are not capable of doing, we don't give them support, then we drive them into frustration that way, and they'll give up. So it's sort of a narrow range, but I don't know why we took this for granted that everybody intuitively understands that narrow range. And this is why I think the classes on parenting can be very helpful, right? And helping young people identify what the legitimate expectations are of their children and how to go about making appropriate demands of their kids so that they don't either understimulate or overstimulate.
Wish I could turn back the clock then. I never tell them to be flat instead of a B natural.
It tends then to be a guide too for them in adjustments into society, social society, everyday living, and permits them better to become equipped to cope.
Yeah, I think this is even much more necessary now than it was in the past generations, because life is becoming just that much more complex. When you were, when civilization was primarily a rural society, there wasn't anywhere near the amount of problems. As we become a more mobile society, a more congested society, and with mores constantly changing, a more confused society, many things have become much more complex. I think people need to be better equipped from the beginning up.
Anything else you want to add, Rebecca, before we close?
No. If there's any questions that come up, give me a yell. We'll see what we can do.
All right. Very good. Okay. We'll review the tapes, and we have to get back to you.
Okay.
And thank you so much.
You've been
so helpful.
You're welcome. Enjoy the book.
This is the end of tape 2 in our interview with Dr. Tversky. He felt that he had given us all the information that he wanted to release and suggested that if there's any specific area that we may want to get back to him, to call him, and he would be glad to find some time for us.